Let's read from the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 17 to 18. It says, "For the Lord is the Spirit." I'm reading from the New Living Translation of the Bible. "For the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So all of us who have had the veil removed," or that veil removed, "can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like Him as we are changed into His glorious image." All right. On Sunday, we had a great time studying the Word of God. And I want to quickly remind us of some of the things that we said on Sunday. Honestly speaking, if I had my way, I would probably just go back to Sunday and recap everything all over again, because this is something, okay, that we need to get deep down in our spirit, okay? For those who need a title, the title of tonight's message is The Image of Christ. The Image of Christ. Okay, I told you on Sunday that God's priority in your life is that Christ be formed in you, okay? That Christ be formed in you. Permit me to say it again. Regardless of what a person is dealing with, regardless of how tough things are, okay, God's priority in your life, the first thing that concerns God in your life is that Christ be formed in you. I showed it to you from Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1 to 2, that Jesus is the goal, okay? You must be looking to Jesus. Nobody is your standard but Jesus, okay? There's nobody you want to satisfy. There's nobody you want to impress as much as you want to impress Jesus. Hallelujah. One of the things we said on Sunday that is also very crucial is I told you that your most valuable use of time is investment into fellowship with God, okay? They that know their Lord shall be strong, and they shall do great exploits. The most valuable use of your time is investment into fellowship with God. I told you on Sunday that if you are good with God, you will be great with men, okay? If you are good with God, you will be great with men. I showed you from Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 17. I want to read it again from the Passion Translation tonight. It says, "When the Lord is pleased with the decisions you have made, He activates grace to turn enemies into friends." Hallelujah. When the Lord is pleased with the decisions you have made, He activates grace to turn enemies into friends. Remember the story of blind Bartimaeus when he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." The people told him, "Keep quiet." See, but he knew the right thing to do. He knows, look, I'm not here to impress people. My focus has to be on Jesus. So he shouted all the more. And guess what? Jesus stopped, turned around and said, "Bring him," all right? And the Bible said, the same people said to him, "Cheer up, he called thee." The very same people, hallelujah. The very same people said what? "Cheer up, he called thee." In other words, when people... okay, when you're dealing with people, or when you are making decisions, you are taking steps, okay, and people confuse, or better still, people disagree with you, okay? People's standards are different from yours, but you know, as a child of God, this is the standard I'm supposed to follow, okay? This is what I'm supposed to be doing. You see, all you need to do is keep your focus on Jesus. Let me give some practical examples. You work in an organization. You know that God will not have you, okay, be corrupt. God will not have you falsify figures. God will not have you steal. And people around you are doing it. Sometimes they make you feel something is wrong with you. You don't know what you are doing. You will be left behind. This is the way everybody is doing it. Listen, your focus has to be on Jesus. Jesus is my standard. Jesus is my goal, okay? See, when you are focused like that, over time, God will reward you. Over time, God will lift you. And just like Bartimaeus, He will stand still. He will send for you. Now, the very same people, I've learned over the years that people know how to change their minds. Hallelujah. The very same people that said, "Shut up," were the same people that said, "Cheer up." Hallelujah. The very same people. So when the Lord is pleased with the decisions you've made, He activates grace that turns enemies into friends. And then lastly, on Sunday, we looked at Philippians chapter 3 and verse 1 to 21, and in the course of reading that portion of scripture, we were able to discover four powerful principles that Paul the Apostle was trying to show us there. Okay, the first one is clarity of purpose, okay? He said, "I want to know Christ." So if the agenda of God in your life, if God's priority in your life is what is that Christ be formed in you, God's priority has to become your priority. Remember Matthew 6:33, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Okay? So if God says, I want Christ to be formed in you, that's my objective in your life. It's got to be what? Your own priority, okay? I want to know Christ. Then the next thing we saw him say was what? That look, since I want to know Christ, I consistently evaluate myself. And that evaluation has to be very honest. So he said, I have not achieved it. Now, he couldn't have said, look, brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it if he was not consistently evaluating. He says, look, I look at my life and I find out that I've come some way, but I am not all the way. I'm not everything he wants me to be. Then he moves to step number 3. He says, so what do? I press. In other words, I maintain my focus. Since Jesus is my goal, I'm going to keep pressing, okay, until I become like Christ. All right, until I become like Christ. About 2 or 3 sessions ago, I told you that this is what the Holy Spirit wants to do in your life. He wants to help you become like Christ. And how does he do it? It is through the Word of God. So when Paul the Apostle said, I press, how do you press? You press by paying attention to the Word of God, by evaluating your life, okay? As you interface with people, you see, what I've learned about people is people are mirrors. Okay, anytime you want to evaluate yourself, you don't have to stress yourself. Just check your relationship with people. The way you are reacting to what people are doing or people are not doing, the way people are reacting or relating with you, okay, will show you, all right, how you are doing. Okay, especially for those of us who are married, you have an evaluator right in your home, all right? Somebody who loves you so much, it will step on your toes. Hallelujah. Okay, so you can maintain your focus, you can press. All right, by focusing on Jesus. This is what we are saying. Everything you need will be added unto you. That's the truth. So you have no business running after those things. When you focus on becoming like Jesus, everything you need will be added unto you, but you've got to maintain your focus. And finally, on Sunday, we looked at the fact that he said that there are 2 examples. So I presented you a question. Whose example are you following? Whose example are you following? Paul the Apostle was able to show us that, look, there are good examples and that there are bad examples. And he told us about the bad examples. He said what? He said their stomach is their God. He said that their heart is fixed on earthly things. Okay? So if you look at the people whose example you are following, and there are people who are mindful of material things, who measure the goodness of God by the material things they have, who measure their faith by material things, that they, you know, when they pray, it's about things. As they are seeking God, it's about what they are going to get from God. I showed you the pattern that Jesus gave to us when he taught us to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. What's the next thing? Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hallelujah. So we must be concerned about the will of God. And I've told you that God's number one agenda is that Christ be formed in you. And that was where we stopped on Sunday. So clarity of purpose. Consistent and honest self-evaluation, okay, maintaining of focus, and then you make up your mind whose example you are going to follow, all right? Tonight, I want us to look at the image of Christ. Now, this is what I mean. Since the objective of God in my life, the agenda of God in my life, is that I mature, I continue to grow till I become like Christ. So my question is, what does maturity look like? A person that is like Christ, okay, what does he look like? Let's start tonight by looking at Galatians chapter 4 and verse 19 from the New Living Translation of the Bible. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 19, New Living Translation of the Bible. It says, oh, my dear children, I feel as if I am going through labor pains for you again, and they will continue until Christ is fully developed in your lives. Hallelujah. Let me read it again. Oh, my dear children, I feel as if I'm going through labor pains for you again, and they will continue until Christ is fully developed in your lives. Hallelujah. Okay, the first thing I want you to note is this. Every believer has the potential to become like Christ. That's the first thing you've got to settle. The seed is in me. The capacity is in me. The potential is in me to become like Christ. John chapter 1 and verse 12 says, as many as believed him, gave he the right, okay? It's the word exousia. It means ability. It means capacity. That word right. In John chapter 1 and verse 12, okay, is the Greek word exousia. It means ability. It means capacity. It means right. What it means that right where you are, you have it in you to become like Christ. The moment you put your faith in him, you have that capacity to become like Christ. The next thing I noticed in our text tonight, however, is that It is a process, not an occurrence. Becoming like Christ is a process, not an occurrence. And this is where you need to pay attention. If you cast your mind back, I spoke about Adam and how that God's purpose was for Adam to carry the image of God. But that process was aborted because of sin. And I told you on Sunday, you can't afford to make the mistake of Adam. Okay? Now, you also have been born of God. You are born of the Spirit. There is a seed in you. There is a capacity in you to become like Christ. A process has started. You can't afford to abort the process. You can't afford to prolong the process. Okay? So the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18, and we all, as with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the image of God, we are being transformed into that image. Paul the Apostle is showing us here in Galatians 4:19 that, look, this is a process. And he said, for me, who is your pastor, the process is as painful as a woman birthing a child. He said, we see, that process of pain will continue because my assignment is that Christ be formed in you. Hallelujah. My assignment is that Christ be formed in you. So that process will continue until Christ is formed in you. So what does maturity look like? As I grow to become like Christ, what would I look like, okay, as I mature? Quickly tonight, I want to look at about five of them, okay? So these are two things I want you to take note of. How would I look as I become like Christ, okay? And there are two reasons why I want to give you these five principles. The first one is this, so that you can personally evaluate. And then number two, so that you can choose whose example you want to follow. You know, the Bible says that by their fruit, you shall know them. So there are people who have gone ahead of you. There are people who have the form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. So how do I know whose example to follow? When you know the nature of Christ, when you know what maturity looks like, you can see it in other people, and then you know, I can follow this person's example. Okay, I shouldn't follow that person's example. And then you can also use this list to evaluate yourself. So quickly tonight, let's look at this list of five things, okay, that shows us maturity, that shows us what Christ really is like. The first one is character. Character, or what we call fruit of the Spirit. But please take note, we didn't say fruits. It's fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to 23. Now watch this. The objective of the Holy Spirit in your life is that Christ be formed in you. Now the Bible says in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Okay? I'm reading from the New Living Translation of the Bible. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. This is what you need to realize. It's not that the Holy Spirit will produce love in somebody, and then peace in another person, and then patience in another person, and then kindness in another person. It is one fruit with many, okay, manifestations, or let's call it a many-sided fruit, okay? The Spirit of God will produce this fruit in your life. So if I want to measure my life, I want to see, am I growing? Am I becoming like Christ? What am I going to look out for, okay? Am I full of love? Am I joyful? Am I at peace? Okay, am I a peaceful person? Do I have patience? Do I have kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control? Let's put it in another way. Do I have character? Am I a person of good character? You see, when you look at this list, you know, I told you, you know, a couple of weeks back, I told you, or a couple of sessions back, I told you how there's only one problem we have in the world, and that is godlessness. When you look at this list, when a person is godly, all these qualities will be in that person. So if you look into your life right now, you say, okay, I'm relatively peaceful, you know, but that faithfulness thing, no. This is what I'm trying to say. When a person has the nature of Christ in them, they won't cheat on their spouse. That's the truth. When a person has the nature of Christ in them, they won't cheat the government. They won't cheat people in business. They won't scam, okay? It's because the nature of God is not formed in them. Hallelujah. And this is what we need to, okay? We need to give ourselves to, as you fellowship with the Holy Spirit, as you interface with the Holy Spirit, these are the qualities He wants to produce in your life, okay? The fruit of the Spirit, character. It's one way we see a person that is maturing. We know that, look, this person is maturing into the image of Christ. The second one is doctrinal stability. Okay, doctrinal stability. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 to 15. I want to read it quickly. It says, now these are the gifts. I'm reading from the New Living Translation also. These are the gifts Christ gave to the church. the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue. Can you see? It's a process. This will continue. Their work will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. How do we know we are mature? Then, when we mature, it says, then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. Okay, so the second sign of a mature believer, okay, that the image of Christ is formed in you, is doctrinal stability. In other words, you have strong roots. Your opinion, your conviction in the Word of God is not determined by the teaching that is reigning in town. Hallelujah. And it takes time for you to get to that point. Well, look, no matter what happens, no matter what anybody has to say, you know the truth. Let me show you how that happens. It's because, it's not just because you've been taught in the Word, but because you know the Holy Spirit. Okay? And so much that even though he uses different agents, he is your teacher. I'm not sure you get that. You are so close and accustomed to the Holy Spirit. So if somebody comes and they want to trick you, you know, because sometimes people are so eloquent, they're so intelligent, you know, and they're teaching some very fantastic things. You see, but because you receive from the Holy Spirit, your teacher is the Holy Spirit, you know, you are not carried away by how you feel. You are not carried away by intelligence. You are not carried away by, oh, it's fine, it's fine. I mean, it sounds fine. It sounds logical. You know, it's about what's the Holy Spirit saying in me. I remember years ago, a friend of mine, we went to a meeting together. We didn't go together, okay? I was attending the meeting, and she was attending the meeting, all right? And in the course of the meeting, they were teaching stuff, they were saying stuff, quite a number of things were happening. After some time, I got grieved in my spirit, and I'm like, look, this is not of God. Okay, but I'm not a contentious person, I will not fight. So I just got up, and I picked my Bible, and I left. As I got outside the building, only for me to look, and I saw this my friend, you know, walking out of the same meeting. And as we're walking away from the meeting, the two of us looked at each other, and interestingly, at the same time, we said to each other, that's not the Holy Spirit. Now watch this. I didn't have to tell her the reasons why I believe that's not the Holy Spirit. She didn't have to tell me the reasons why she believed that's not the Holy Spirit. But deep in her heart, she knew that's not the Holy Spirit. I knew in my heart, that's not the Holy Spirit. And guess what? The conversation ended there, and we left. And that's the end. So you see, it's not because we talked and you and a clique, you and a group of people, we argued, we debated, and we all came to this conviction. No, 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 no. Doctrinal stability is, I have learned so much of the Holy Spirit that when something comes fresh, I still check with him and I don't need to check with any man, even though he uses people to teach me. Hallelujah. That's what it means. Doctrinal stability. Okay. The third principle is selflessness. Selflessness. Am I in the image of Christ? Am I growing in Christ? Do I have Christ formed in me? How do I know? The third way you know is selflessness. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 to 9. It says, do nothing out of selfish ambition. When you mature in God, every move you make will not be because of you. Okay? As you mature in Christ, you will see how that it's not about me, it's about other people. So let's read again, Philippians 2, verse 3 to 9. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interest of others. This is how you know mature believers. They are not about themselves. They are about other people. They want the best for other people. Everything they do is for the benefit of other people. In verse 5, it says, in your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. So how do I know the image of Christ is formed in me? Is because over time, I have grown into the attitude of Christ. What is the attitude of Christ? Verse 6 says, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. See, let me say this to you. In the world, you get promoted by seeking promotion. You get promoted by fighting your way to the top. In God's kingdom, we humble ourselves and then we get lifted by God. Are you getting it? In God's kingdom, success is not what you pursue. Success is what you attract by the person you become. So you abase yourself, you serve other people, and God himself will lift you. That's the attitude. That's the mindset of the image of Christ. And you still are that kind of person. And it's amazing how that sometimes you can even find people in church jostling for positions. For the life of me, it does not make sense. Somebody says, oh, I came before you. I must be the leader of the unit. If you really understand that to lead is to serve, that the one who is in front because he's the servant of all of us. It's not something to jostle for. If you really want to what? If you really want to serve. Now, can you imagine when all our politicians are servant leaders? Can you imagine when captains of industries are servant leaders? Can you imagine when husbands are servant leaders, fathers are servant leaders, that when a man makes a decision, it's not about himself, it's about serving his family, it's about serving his community, it's about serving his employees, it's about serving his customers. Can you see how our world can become a better place? Now, this is a question a lot of people have asked. Why is our world as decadent as it is, even though we have so many believers? It is because we have so many people who name the name of Christ, but who don't understand that, look, this process of Christ being formed in me requires my what? My focus. Until we become like Christ, we can't be the light of the world. Hallelujah. So selflessness, humility is a sign of spiritual maturity. Okay? The fourth one is mission-mindedness. Okay? If you are maturing in the things of God, if you are growing, if the image of Christ is growing in you, how do you know you are mission-minded? John chapter 4, verse 33 to 34. Then his disciples said to each other, could someone have brought him food? Then Jesus answered him in verse 34. He said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. We know this story, okay, but let me quickly recap for those who may probably be seeing this verse of scripture for a long time or you don't know the background story. Jesus and his disciples were traveling. They had to go through Samaria. And then when he got to the entrance of Samaria, he got very tired. He got so tired that he sat down. And then he said to his disciples, you know, you go get some food for me to eat. And before they got back, a lady came to fetch water. And he engaged the lady. And they started talking. He actually started by saying, please give me some water to drink. Because he was thirsty. But the moment he noticed an opportunity to serve, an opportunity to minister, he made a switch. How do I know I'm a mature believer or I am growing in the image of Christ? Every time there's an opportunity to serve, I switch. Okay, so he said, my will, my nourishment comes from doing the work of he who sent me. When you mature in the things of God, you will be mission-minded. Hallelujah. You will be mission-minded. You will be about God and his mission on earth, not about yourself. Now, so like I said on Sunday, somebody's wondering, so what happens to me? I have needs. I have desires. God will meet your needs. And let me say this to you. I've experienced this over the years. You see, it pays better to seek the benefit of others than to seek your own benefit. Because when God gets ready to lift you, he will do for you much more than you could have done for yourself. So when the disciples of Jesus came back, they looked at his countenance, how he was engaged, and they said, Oga, eat something. He said, no, I don't want to eat anything. Why? Because he had just witnessed to a lady. The lady had gone to bring the whole city. This is an opportunity to win souls. I'm not going to place personal interest over what? Ministry interest, mission interest. To be mission-minded is to be what? Is to be like Christ. And finally tonight, how do I know I'm growing? How do I know the image of Christ is being formed in me? The fifth one is to be led of the Spirit. To be led of the Spirit. Mature Christians are Spirit-led, okay? Romans chapter 8 and verse 14 says, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. Now, it's interesting to note the word used here. In John chapter 1 and verse 12, the word used there is children. Okay? It actually means children. But in Romans chapter 8 and verse 14, the word translated children here actually means mature son. Okay? Mature son. So you see, when you put your faith in Jesus, you have the capacity to become like Christ. How do you know that you have grown in that capacity is that you are led of the Spirit. In other words, you do what the Holy Spirit leads you to do, not what you feel like doing. And Galatians 5 helps us to understand that at every point in time, the spirit, okay, lusts after the flesh, wars after the flesh after the spirit. There will never be a time where your flesh wants to do right. Okay? How you know you are maturing is that you pick the leading of the spirit over the pull of the flesh at every point in time. So what if I find myself failing? You know, like Paul the Apostle said, I have not gotten there yet. Okay? So you keep at it. You keep at it. You don't feel, you don't beat yourself over the head. You don't let condemnation overwhelm you. No, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. So you don't give up. You know, I will go boldly back to the throne of grace that I may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. I will learn of him. I will receive teaching. I will understand. Then the opportunity will come again to make a choice, either the flesh or the spirit. When you follow the leading of the spirit, you know, I am maturing. All right, let's stop that. Let's stop it here tonight and we'll continue on Sunday as we talk about the image of Christ. I believe you've received the word, you've received instruction, correction, okay, comfort in the word we've received tonight. Let's pray before we go, all right? And then we'll take some announcements. Let us pray right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. For the word we have heard, we thank you. For the insight we have received tonight, we thank you. We thank you because much more than hearing this word, grace to live in the reality of what we have heard tonight is released upon us in the name of Jesus. To everyone who is a part of this experience, I declare that you will live out and bear fruit concerning the word you've heard tonight in the name of Jesus. The image of Christ in you continues to grow. You grow in character till you become in every essence of you the image of Christ in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you. And Lord, we worship you. For in Jesus' name we have prayed.